This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorn. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to address tension that keeps resurfacing after you thought it was resolved. When tension returns, the first fix never reached the real problem. In short, tension that keeps coming back was never truly resolved. The original conversation fixed the surface while the root stayed intact. Real recurring tension resolution means naming the pattern, finding what was left unsaid, and agreeing on something specific enough to hold. Surface agreements create the illusion of resolution without the substance. The root is almost always an unmet expectation, a trust deficit, or a fear that was never spoken aloud. A genuine fix requires a different kind of conversation, not just another version of the first one. Definition: recurring tension resolution is the practice of identifying and addressing the underlying cause of a workplace conflict that returns after an apparent fix. It moves beyond managing symptoms to examine the unspoken grievance, broken expectation, or relational rupture that keeps the friction alive. You thought it was done. The conversation happened, things settled, and for a few weeks the air was clear. Then it came back, maybe quieter this time, maybe sharper, but unmistakably the same thing. Recurring tension in a working relationship is one of the most demoralizing experiences a professional can face because it makes every previous effort feel wasted. I've watched good people conclude they're simply incompatible with a colleague when the truth was simpler and harder. The first conversation never reached the actual problem. Recurring tension resolution is not about trying harder. It is about going deeper and knowing exactly where to look. Why surface agreements break down so reliably? Most first conversations about tension are really conversations about behaviour. Someone says or does something that causes friction. You talk about it. The other person agrees to change. Things improve temporarily. Then the same friction reappears, wearing slightly different clothes. Here is the truth of it: behaviour is a symptom. The cause is almost always one of three things. An expectation that was never made explicit, a trust rupture that was acknowledged but not repaired, or a genuine difference in values or working style that was never honestly named. When you address the behaviour without touching any of these, you have not resolved the tension. You have postponed it. The difficulty is that going deeper feels riskier than staying on the surface. Naming an unmet expectation can sound like an accusation. Raising a trust issue can feel dramatic. Naming a real difference in how two people work can feel like a verdict. Some people reach a comfortable agreement about the symptom and quietly hope the root will take care of itself. It does not. What you need before the conversation begins. Do not walk into a recurring tension resolution conversation without two things in place. The first is a clear account of the pattern. You need to be able to describe not just the most recent incident, but the sequence, what has happened more than once, when it happens, and what it costs the work. The second is a genuine commitment to hear something that may be uncomfortable. If you go in to deliver a verdict rather than to investigate, the other person will feel it immediately, and the conversation will produce nothing lasting. If you're not yet calm enough to stay genuinely curious when challenged, wait. The strength to pause is not weakness. It is preparation. A conversation held too soon, in too much heat, produces the same surface agreement that got you here in the first place. It also helps to review what was agreed in the previous conversation, if there was one. Was the agreement specific? Was it followed through on both sides? Understanding where the last resolution broke down tells you exactly where this one needs to go. A process for reaching the root. Step 1. Name the pattern, not just the incident. Open the conversation by naming what you have observed across time, not what happened most recently. Something like, I want to talk about something I have noticed coming up between us more than once. I think the last conversation we had helped for a while, but I can feel the same friction returning, and I want to understand why. This framing matters. It tells the other person you are not here to litigate last Tuesday. You are here because you respect the working relationship enough to try again, properly this time. It also signals that you are aware of your own part in the pattern, which lowers defensiveness immediately. Step 2. Ask what was left unsaid before. This is the most important question in the entire process, and most people never ask it. After you have named the pattern, say, when we talked about this before, was there anything you held back? Anything you felt but did not say? You will often need to sit in silence after this question. Let it breathe. The answer to this question is almost always where the real tension lies. Someone held back because they did not trust the conversation was safe. Someone held back because they feared the response. Someone held back because they did not yet have words for what they felt. That unsaid thing has been creating pressure ever since. Step 3. Identify the underlying need or expectation. Once the unsaid thing is on the table, your job is to understand the need or expectation behind it. Ask, what would it look like for this to feel genuinely different to you? What would need to change? Listen carefully. You are not looking for a complaint. You are looking for the gap between what this person needs in order to work well and what they are currently getting. For instance, if a colleague has been withdrawn and uncooperative since a project decision went over their head, the behavior is withdrawal. The root might be a need for consultation that was bypassed. The recurring tension is not about attitude. It is about respect for contribution. Once you name that clearly, you have something real to address. For teams dealing with a broader pattern of friction, the DEAL method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy offers a structured framework that complements this individual process. Step 4. Acknowledge what you contributed. Recurring tension almost never has a single source. Before you ask for anything to change, state clearly what you believe your own contribution to the pattern has been. Not a lengthy apology. One or two specific, honest sentences. I think I have been too quick to move on after our previous conversations, rather than checking in properly. That is enough. It is honest and specific, and it changes the dynamic of the whole conversation. The other person can no longer experience this as an interrogation. It becomes a shared problem you are both working on. Step 5. Agree on something specific enough to measure. This is where most resolution attempts fail, even when the preceding steps go well. People agree to communicate better or be more transparent or raise issues sooner. These are intentions, not agreements. You cannot hold each other to an intention. You can only hold each other to a behavior. Agree on something specific. I will copy you on decisions that affect your area before they are final. Or, if either of us feels the tension returning, we say so within 24 hours rather than letting it build. Their agreement should be concrete enough that a third party, knowing nothing about you, could tell you whether it had been kept. For support in holding tense workplace conversations from a grounded place while this process is underway, the core framework for staying grounded during a tense workplace conversation is a practical companion to these steps. Step 6. Set a check-in date. Before you close the conversation, agree on a time to review how the agreement is holding. 2 or 3 weeks is usually right. This step is not optional. Without it, the agreement has no accountability structure, and you're one difficult week away from the tension resurfacing again. The check-in does not need to be a formal meeting. It can be a brief conversation over coffee. What matters is that both parties know it is coming, so neither can drift away from the commitment without being noticed. When remote distance makes this harder. Recurring tension resolution is genuinely more difficult in remote or hybrid teams, and the reason is simple: the informal contact that signals goodwill has been removed. You cannot catch someone's expression when they read your message. You cannot feel the shift in atmosphere after a good conversation. You're working with far less information about how things stand. In remote settings, do this process over video, never by message or email. Written words are too flat for conversations this nuanced. Turn your camera on. Establish, early in the call, that you want the conversation to be honest rather than careful, and say that you will take anything said in the right spirit. Also increase the frequency of your check-ins. A fortnightly brief message, how are things sitting for you this week, costs almost nothing and provides the ambient contact that keeps small tensions from growing in the dark. If you are working on rebuilding something more seriously damaged, the bridge method for rebuilding working relationships after tension has created a genuine breakdown is worth reading alongside this process. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What people get wrong and how to correct it. The mistake: treating the most recent incident as the problem, rather than the pattern. Why it happens. It is easier to address what just happened than to name a longer history. What to do instead. Before the conversation, write down every instance of the friction you can remember, spanning months if necessary. Walk into the room with the pattern in your head, not just the last event, the mistake, reaching an agreement in the conversation, but never following through on your own side. Why it happens? The relief of resolution makes the agreement feel less urgent once you walk out the door. What to do instead? Write your own commitment down immediately after the conversation. Review it before you check in. You cannot ask someone else to keep their side if you're drifting from yours. The mistake? Moving to solutions before both people feel genuinely heard. Why it happens? Discomfort with sustained emotional weight pushes us toward fixing rather than listening. What to do instead? Before you raise any solution, ask the other person to confirm they feel you have understood their position. If they hesitate, keep listening. This connects directly to the skills covered in delivering negative feedback positively, where premature problem solving undermines trust in exactly the same way. The mistake. Avoiding the conversation entirely because the last one went badly. Why it happens. A previous failed resolution attempt makes the next one feel even higher stakes. What to do instead? Acknowledge the previous attempt directly at the start. The last time we talked about this, I do not think we got to the heart of it. I want to try again differently. This reframes the conversation before it begins. If trust has already been damaged by a pattern of unresolved tension, there is additional work to do before the relationship can fully recover. The process for rebuilding trust after unresolved tension has damaged a working relationship gives you a clear path forward once the root cause conversation is done. Your pre-conversation checklist. Before you hold a recurring tension resolution conversation, work through each of these. Number 1. Can you describe the pattern across at least 2 or 3 incidents, not just the most recent one? Number 2. Do you know what was agreed last time? And can you say honestly whether you kept your side of it? Number 3. Have you identified your own contribution to the pattern in 1 or 2 specific sentences? Number 4. Are you calm enough to stay curious when you hear something uncomfortable? Number 5. Do you have a specific, measurable agreement in mind as a goal, rather than a vague intention? Number 6. Have you blocked at least 45 minutes in a private space with no interruptions? Number 7. Have you decided on a check-in date to propose before the conversation closes? If any of these is a no, address it before you schedule the meeting. Preparation is not procrastination. It is a difference between a conversation that resolves something and one that adds another layer to the problem. For teams where recurring tension is affecting the collective rather than just a pair of individuals, the bridge method for rebuilding synergy after a team breakdown provides a complementary framework for the group dimension of this work. And if the tension is surfacing in your meetings, running productive meetings that do not waste time addresses how structure and facilitation can reduce the conditions in which friction grows. The one thing that determines whether this holds. After 60 years of navigating professional relationships, I can tell you that recurring tension resolution does not ultimately depend on technique. It depends on whether both people, after the conversation, genuinely believe the other person is trying. Not perfectly. Not without stumbling. Trying. You build that belief through one thing following through on what you said you would do, even when it is inconvenient, even when the other person has not been perfect either. Every time you keep your side of the agreement, where it would have been easy not to, you deposit something into the account of trust. Every time you skip the check-in or let a drift go unremarked, you make a small withdrawal. The account balance, over time, is the relationship. Recurring tension resolution is not a conversation. It is a practice. The conversation starts it. What you do in the weeks after is what determines whether the root was ever truly reached. Frequently asked questions. What is recurring tension resolution? Recurring tension resolution is the process of identifying and addressing the root cause of a conflict that keeps returning after apparent fixes. It goes beyond surface-level agreements to examine the underlying grievance, pattern, or unmet need driving the repeated friction. Why does workplace tension keep coming back after it seems resolved? Tension resurfaces because most first conversations address behavior or symptoms rather than the underlying cause. When the root grievance, broken expectation, or trust deficit goes unspoken, the original friction has nowhere to go and eventually re-emerges in the same or a different form. How do you start a conversation about recurring tension at work? Name the pattern directly and without blame. Say something like, I want to talk about something I have noticed coming up between us more than once. That framing signals intent, without accusation, and creates space for an honest conversation rather than a defensive one. How long should a recurring tension resolution conversation take? Allow at least 30 to 45 minutes for an initial conversation. Rushing a resolution is one of the most common reasons tension resurfaces. The goal is shared understanding, not a quick agreement, and that takes time to reach properly. What if the other person refuses to engage in a recurring tension conversation? Refusal to engage is itself useful information. Document your attempt. Keep your own conduct clear. And if the pattern continues affecting work, involve a manager or HR with a factual account of both the tension and your resolution attempts. Do not let refusal become permission for the problem to continue. How is addressing recurring tension different from a standard conflict conversation? A standard conflict conversation deals with a single incident. Recurring tension resolution requires you to identify the pattern across multiple incidents, name it explicitly, and agree on a new working norm. The conversation is about the relationship dynamic, not just the most recent event. Can recurring tension be resolved when there is a power imbalance? Yes, though the process requires more care. The person with less power needs to feel safe enough to speak honestly. Framing your concern around impact and work outcomes rather than personal criticism reduces the risk that the conversation becomes a performance review rather than a genuine repair. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.